Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Show. It's August 31, 2015, and this is episode 486. From August 10 to 26, 2015, I joined my friend Jeremy Woodhouse in Namibia to co-host a tour with 10 wonderful participants. We had an amazing time, and from today for the next few weeks, I'm going to walk you through the trip via a selection of photographs from each day. This beautiful introduction is the staff at the Kulala Lodge near Sossusvlei, where we stayed during the trip. And we'll look at some images from that area in a future episode. We start on August 11 as we were due to leave Windhoek, the capital of Namibia, for a long drive south to Keetmanshoop, where we would photograph the Quiver Tree Forest that we'll look at shortly. As we had some car troubles right off the bat, we ended up spending a little bit of time at our travel partner's office, but this gave me 30 minutes or so to capture some photos of this weaver bird making its nest. If you're listening to this just as the audio version, or if you're trying to listen to it on an Apple device and Apple still haven't fixed a problem with the enhanced podcast format, then you can see the images that I'm going to discuss today by going to the blog post at mbp.ac/486 and click on the images to view them as large as possible as well. So this was my first time seeing a weaver bird up close, and I think this species is called the village weaver, with its black face and red eye. I managed to shoot him here with his wings spread, climbing into the nest, and this is probably the best shot of about 100 or so frames as I tried to capture something that was worth keeping. These birds move pretty fast as they busily build their nests. To help me capture the action, I increased the ISO to 800 with an aperture of 7.1 and a shutter speed of 2,000th of a second. Just a little delayed from the car troubles, we set off shortly after this for our long drive to Keetmanshoop, where we arrived late afternoon, but still in time for a few hours in the Quiver Forest, our main attraction for the day. I spent much of my time with the new Canon 11-24mm f4 L lens, as I did for this image of the Quiver Trees with a lovely big sky. The Quiver Trees are of course distorted slightly at 12mm on my full frame 5DSR camera, but this enables me to capture that huge expanse of sky with these lovely wispy clouds, which are really quite rare for August in Namibia. We had clouds most days, and even some days when it was just a white sky, which helped with, you know, reducing the contrast in some situations, so this wasn't a problem. When you're in a location of a lifetime, though, you work with what you have anyway. In this photo, of course, the clouds were a definite benefit. We continued to work this location until after the sun had gone below the horizon, and this photo is probably my favourite from this part of the day. I changed lenses, now going for the 24-70 f2.8 Mark II lens, and I zoomed in to 61mm to compress the elements in the scene a little, and also get more of that band of colour across the horizon into the frame. That would have been lost in an ultra-wide-angle shot. Also, note that the light was so low at this point that I was getting a 30-second shutter speed without any neutral density filters, so the clouds have blurred a little for that beautiful dreamy effect that we see in the sky. As I caught up and started going through my images after the trip, I've actually made this photo the monthly wallpaper for September. So if you'd like this in high resolution for your desktop background, you can pick it up from our store with the link that I'll embed in the blog post. Or you can subscribe to our monthly wallpaper and get new desktop wallpaper every month for $2.80 per month, or just $2 a month if you subscribe for a year. Shortly after shooting the last image, we left for the lodge and dinner, and a few of us came back to the Quiver Tree forest later on that night to shoot the Milky Way. I wanted to include a quiver tree in my shots, as we can see in this first attempt. I was back with the 11-24mm lens wide open at 11mm to get as much of the Milky Way in as possible. I cranked the ISO up to 6400 and left the aperture wide open at f4 with a shutter speed of 25 seconds. This is about as long as you can go before the stars start to elongate at this focal length, and I wanted to avoid that. I lit the quiver tree with light from my headlamp. At 6400 ISO, I only needed a couple of quick wafts of light to illuminate the quiver tree. You can also see, if you really look, you maybe can't see this in the web version, but there's a line of quiver trees in silhouette along the bottom of the frame as well. Another thing to bear in mind with night photography like this is that it's important not to overexpose the stars. It's tempting because you want a nice bright Milky Way, but if you go too far, all of the stars go white, and we don't want that. There are lots of different coloured stars, so it's important not to lose that colour. Here's one more photograph of the Milky Way, this time with quiver trees lit along the bottom edge. Once again, this was shot at 11mm for 25 seconds at f4, ISO 6400. Click on the images to see the slightly larger version, and hopefully you'll be able to make out the different coloured stars as well. The following morning, we rose early and went down the road to the Devil's Playground, where we were treated with some nice pre-sunrise colour in the sky, as you can see in this photograph. I shot this with the 24-70mm lens at 59mm and a 10-second exposure at f11, ISO 200. I chose ISO 200 to get a faster shutter speed so as to avoid the moon moving much during the exposure. I like the rock formation on the left, which reminds me a little of the Moai statues on Easter Island, and here it seems to be looking up at that crescent moon. The red in the sky was fleeting though, as we rushed around frantically looking for a few different compositions before it was gone. Here's another that I captured with a quiver tree to the right and some stone stacks in silhouette across the horizon. I couldn't help including that crescent moon again either. The light was increasing now, enabling me to decrease the shutter speed to 4 seconds at f14, now with ISO 100. After returning to the lodge for breakfast, we set off for another reasonably long drive west to the coast and the abandoned diamond mine town of Kolmanskop. I'm sure you've seen photos of this place where the desert is gradually reclaiming the houses built by German pioneers that worked at the mine. I lived pretty much in the 11-24 for this afternoon that we'll look at today, and the following morning that we'll look at next week. I shot plenty of images of doorways and windows with the sand in the rooms, which I like, but I'm going to share something a little wider here, as this kind of shot isn't really possible without such a wide lens, and so these are slightly different views than you might normally see. Careful control of the exposure has enabled me to show a wide range of light from the bright doorway to the shadows through the broken doorway on the left side. In fact, I've deepened the shadow slightly to increase the drama and somewhat eerie feel of the image. This was a 1 second exposure at f14, ISO 100 at 11mm. Note too that I was careful here to adjust the height of my tripod to a level that kept my vertical lines all straight. I don't care about the horizontal lines becoming slanted. That's what gives us the sense of depth. But where possible, I find it more pleasing to have vertical lines vertical. Only when it makes sense, though. Sometimes it's fun to just send everything askew. I actually zoomed in a little to 19mm for this next image. The idea being that I wanted to show the sweep of the sand all the way up to the right side wall, but wanted to stop short of each wall to the right and left sides here. Once again, I was careful to set the exposure to a level that would let us see the bright outside light flooding in and illuminating a good part of the room, but also wanted to keep the shadow areas and the texture in the foreground sand. Note too that I'm rarely concerned about blowing out the highlights in the windows. I know that some people like to do multiple exposures, at least one for inside and another for outside the room, but this doesn't appeal to me. It feels awkward and unnatural to me to be able to see outside in a scene like this. The window is the source of the light, and therefore I expect it to be the brightest part of the scene. This was a 1 second exposure at f14 ISO 100 at 19mm, as I say. During this afternoon and the following morning in Coleman-Scott, I had a lot of fun with the Stanley Kubrick style 1-point perspective, as you can see in this shot. This is where all of the main lines in the scene lead to one distant point. I did this a lot in my last visit to Coleman-Scott 2, but the 11-24mm enables me to emphasize the lines leading towards the central vanishing point even more than my old 14mm prime and 16-35mm lenses used to do. The last time I stood in this spot, the wind was howling from the desert and the windows rattling, with sand flying everywhere. That brought its own eeriness, especially as I was alone that time. I spent most of my time here this time with my buddy Ardwin, taking turns to stand exactly in the middle, and it was a calm day too, so this wasn't quite as scary an experience as my first visit. Okay, so that takes us to the end of our first 10 images, so we'll wrap it up there for today. I hope you've enjoyed this. We'll pick up the trail next week on the following morning back here at Coleman-Scott, before spending the afternoon at another abandoned mine town at Elizabeth Bay, and then we'll drive up the Skeleton Coast and over to Saucer's Flat, with its majestic red dunes and iconic dead flay, with the dead camel thorn trees. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.